We'll open the Word of God this afternoon to Proverbs 4. We'll read and then consider in the preaching of the Word, verses 1 to 9. Proverbs 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Well, boys and girls, as we come to hear the Bible again this afternoon, we can start by thinking about this. There are many things that you perhaps want to have, many things that you really, if you could, you could probably easily fill a birthday list or two and probably your Christmas list very easily. If I was to ask you, what would you want? What would you like? What is that thing that you particularly are looking forward to getting or hoping you get? Or perhaps what is it when you go to the store with your mom or dad? What is it that, what part of the store are you attracted to? What section are you going to? Is it to the tractors? Is it to the Hot Wheel cars? Is it to the tools? Where is it that you are going in the store? When I was young, it was tractors, and then eventually I graduated to computers and computer games, and it's always that part where it's like my parents knew where they might find me in the store if somehow they lost sight of me. What are those things that take up your time, grab your attention, boys and girls? What is it that occupies your mind and your heart? And then the question is, what is the most important thing? What are those things that you really should be focusing on the most? Not that there's something wrong with toys or computers, but what are the things that you really should be really grabbing your heart? Not something that's going to be broken soon. Not something that is going to be forgotten about and at the bottom of the toy bin. Not something that's going to be put into storage, or perhaps when you're not looking, your mom will downsize or declutter or whatever term is used today, and suddenly it ends up at the local thrift store before you know it's even out of the house. You know, those things that you don't even notice actually probably for months, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, where did that go? And you hadn't missed it because it really, at the end of the day, wasn't that important. It wasn't as important as you thought it was. It wasn't as fulfilling as you imagined it would be. But what is the most important thing? What is that kind of treasure that's going to keep growing, that treasure that is going to actually expand and become more important in your life, or it's going to be have greater value in your life? It is the wisdom of God. It is the God who made you. It is Him coming to you, and it is taking from Him, receiving from Him, what it is, the reason for living, the reason why you're here, why it is that you have life, why it is that you wake up in the morning, why it is that God has made you, why your life matters, why you're here to serve God. That's what wisdom is. And you may be learning lots of things. You may have lots of knowledge. If I asked you any Bible trivia questions, you may already know a lot of those answers, but it's not just knowledge that you need. Not just to win trivia contests, but it's why does it matter? Why does it matter that you know about Jesus? And how do you live for Jesus? And what do you really need with Jesus? What you need is to receive that wisdom of God by faith, by believing in Jesus Himself. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is God's wisdom. And for you to have, you need that wisdom in your heart, in your life. It's not just something you keep stored in your bedroom. It's something that you need in your heart. That's really, that's the important stuff. You need Jesus in your heart. And you need him to come and live in you and to fill you with himself, to really know and have that wisdom of God in your life. And God is so kind, and God is so gracious. He comes to teach you. He doesn't just tell you you need this and leaves you to try to dig it out somewhere in your backyard, but he comes to teach you. He teaches you the value of wisdom, and he shows you how to gain that wisdom, and he calls you. And Solomon here, King Solomon, who's writing the Proverbs, he is the one who is, God is, he's one of those who God is using to pass down that wisdom to you. But how did Solomon get that wisdom? Well, he got it from his daddy. His daddy taught him. And who was his daddy? Well, that was King David. He learned this as, and that's how God really intends his word to come from generation to generation in the main. That's how God works through families, through covenant families, those whom he has set apart, us and our children. And so from David, it went down to Solomon, Solomon to his children. And that's part of the blessing that you get to experience as boys and girls. That's part of the blessing of growing up in a home where your parents love Jesus. And because they love Jesus and Jesus lives in their heart, they want to tell you about Jesus. They want you to know about Jesus. And they want you to know how important it is to know Jesus as well. That's God's design. And what King Solomon is coming to you today, though he lived a long time ago, he's coming to you today still through the Bible, and he's saying, listen to your mom and dad. Listen to your mom and dad as they teach you about Jesus, as they teach you the truth about God and why it really, really matters for you. And ultimately, as your parents, as your mama and papa, as they teach you these truths, they're not just teaching what they came up with, that they discovered some one day, but they're teaching you what your Father in heaven is teaching you, what he has taught, what he's laid down in the Bible to be passed on to you. And Solomon says, listen. Listen to your mom and dad, but more than that, listen to what they have to tell you because they heard, they've learned it. It's been passed to them from the Father in heaven. And then he asks you, are you going to follow it? Are you going to listen? Or are you going to go your own way and say, you know what, that was really good, but I'm going to try to find my own way in life? Well, wisdom calls you to not just hear it, but to put your hope and trust in Jesus. Not just to hear about Jesus, but to put your hope in Jesus. And it promises you the best life. It promises not a life that's pain-free or without difficulty or that's just going to be so easy, but it promises you a life that's true and certain and real. A life of knowing Jesus, of loving Jesus, of living for Jesus. And this is a call that comes not just to our children, but it comes to all of us. And not all of us have had faithful fathers who have passed down the word of God to us. Some of us haven't had fathers. We've not lived with fathers, or they perhaps passed away when we were quite young. And so we've not had a father to pass it down. Perhaps God has put others, our mothers or others in our lives to teach us. Others have had fathers who were not believers in Jesus, and so they didn't know the joys of knowing the Lord Jesus. Other fathers have not seen the importance of it, and have not taught you, or perhaps even the best of parents, the best of fathers and mothers, are inconsistent at best. And so there's weakness, there's inconsistency in that instruction, which will affect indeed all of us. But even there, even as we look at that, as God calls you into his family, you know that your heavenly Father is the one who has been teaching you through the means that he has provided, through parents or mentors, friends, elders, and through the church. And all the wisdom that you ever could receive comes from him, comes out from our God in heaven. And he calls us this afternoon. He calls us to listen to his voice, to hear his word. And he calls you as dads and as moms and supporting that work to take that primary role in teaching, to passing down to your children, the next generation, the truths that you have received and learned to love and treasure. He calls grandfathers and grandmothers to have that, or to take on that responsibility still for your grandchildren. But he calls all of us, even if you don't have children in the home or you don't have children at all, that we're part of a covenant community. We're not just a bunch of individuals who just live our individual life, that we happen to gather together. No, we're a covenant community. In other words, that all the children here, we share in a responsibility and of encouraging them in the Lord and teaching them the wisdom of God and taking those opportunities to minister God's word to them. And God speaks to us, and he speaks also through us to others. And our call, the call of God this afternoon, is to hear his word, to believe his word, to believe in the wisdom of God, that is to believe in Jesus and to pass that wisdom on and to pass that wisdom down. And so the greatest possession you can receive is your Father's good wisdom passed down to you. The greatest possession you can receive is your Father's good wisdom passed down to you. And I intentionally in that statement keep the Father as a capital F because it comes ultimately from God the Father. We're going to consider then this text in verses 1 to the beginning of verse 4, your Father's good wisdom passed down to you. And then for the rest of our text through verse 9, your Father's good wisdom received by you. So your Father's good wisdom passed down to you and received by you. Now, boys and girls, God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. No, the Bible is not just for adults. It's not just for people even who can read, though you should long to want to learn how to read, ultimately so you can read the Bible, so you can read what God has to say on your own. But God wants to speak to you, and he wants you to understand what he has to say. And understandably, the Bible is not always easy, even for adults. It's often in many places difficult to understand. It takes a lot of hard work, but God wants you to understand so that you can know who Jesus is and you can follow him. And how do you understand? Let me tell you, it's very simple. You can pray and ask the Lord Jesus to teach you. You can say, Lord Jesus, I want to understand. Please teach me. Please teach me about you. And you can pray that before your mom and dad are going to read the Bible maybe at a mealtime, or maybe as you're about to go to church, you're thinking, oh man, I find it so hard to just listen. And maybe even right now in your heart, you can say, Lord Jesus, please teach me. And here's a message. Here's a chapter where a daddy is speaking to his children. That's what Solomon is doing. This, the whole book of Proverbs really is the instruction of a father, the inspired, God-given teaching of a father to his children. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, he says. And give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. And so, boys and girls, you listen to your mommy and daddy when they open the Bible, they want to teach you. Do you listen to them? Do you hear them? You know, if God came to you in the form of a person, if God appeared, you would not want to ignore God, would you? You would be saying, I need to listen to what God has to say. Well, when God comes to you and your mom and dad are teaching you from the Bible, that's God speaking to you. And you need to really listen and pay attention. He speaks through your parents. And as they teach you from the Bible, you can know they're teaching you good doctrine, good truth. They're bringing the Word of God to you. And that's what Solomon is saying. I give you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. Not his that he came up with, but the Word of God. And as parents, our responsibility is to give our children that which is worth hearing, that which is worth them paying attention to. That as we remember the wisdom of God that has been given to us, that we have privilege to receive, that we need to pass that on to them. And yet we still also need to be refreshed and learning and growing and knowing more and pursuing Jesus. That we need to feed our own souls on Jesus Christ from his word, studying and learning and growing, that we might have something good to pass on to our children, to feed them every single day. We need to work from our knees. We need to pray from our knees and work from our knees. Pray and work. Praying for the wisdom to teach our children, for understanding these good things ourselves, and then from our knees, also continuing in prayer, work it out, teaching our children, expounding truth to our children, and applying it in not just at set times of devotions or family worship, but also just through the day as you face discipline situations, as you face attitude problems, as there are teaching moments, opportunities that God gives. Solomon recalls how David took those opportunities. He said, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. He's recalling that time when he was the only one, the only child of David and Bathsheba, when he was the one who God had already set apart to be the heir to the throne, and David wanted his son to follow the Lord, to understand the fear of the Lord, to have a holy view of the Lord, to love the Lord as David did. And so Solomon recalls, when I was young, when I was weak, when I was needy to learn, when I was impressionable, when when I really needed to be taught, or I was most able to be taught, as it were, that's when my father was diligent to teach me. As in verse 4, he also taught me. And that idea is that literally, as David, my father pointed out the way to me. He pointed the way of life, the way that I ought to go. He pointed the path in the right direction to the Lord. And he said, go, walk in this way and that way. David, by word and also by example, was, as Solomon recalls it, was careful to teach him. Though we recall, of course, David, as a human father, he failed. He failed in many ways by his own example. Sadly, his own example did not match what he would have all taught Solomon by his own sin and failures, which passed down through generations as well, which shows us the need to be so careful, not only in what we teach, but also in how we live, so that our children are not just hearing something and seeing something different, but they're hearing and seeing a consistent life lived. So by the grace of God, they take it to heart and serve. And you know, it's interesting because you could ask the question here, Solomon speaking, he said, but didn't Solomon stray? And Solomon speaking to his children, perhaps to Rehoboam, his own son, his own successor to the throne, you might say, well, didn't Rehoboam stray and leave the faith? Sadly, yes, they both did. Solomon's end is less clear. Rehoboam, he seemed to start out okay, but he also he walked away from God and served other idols and was not a faithful king. Sadly, they were instructed by their fathers, but they also turned away from that instruction. They rejected that wisdom. They did not receive it as they should have received it. And it reflects in that life. And so as we instruct our children, we are not just to assume that our instruction is going to make all the difference in their life. It's the Holy Spirit who must make that difference. And so we instruct and we pray. We instruct and we lay them before the Lord. We plead with God to bring those words that we've taught them, the wisdom we've received, to pass it down from generation to generation. We do it on our knees, praying that they would have the faith, not only that they'd have the ears not only to hear, but the heart to receive, the faith to believe. And boys and girls, that's important. We're going to come to this. You need to not only hear it, you not only have to listen and respectfully just take in what mom and dad say, but also do something with it. Do something about it. I think I've told this story before, but in the town I grew up in, and the hairdresser I would go to had a sign, had a little sign, and I'd stare at this a lot when she was cutting my hair, and I had to keep my head straight. And it said, by the time we realize our parents were right, we have children who think we're wrong. And boys and girls, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Don't live mom and dad are probably wrong. And so I'm gonna, I'm 5 years old, or I'm 10 years old, or I'm 15 years old, and I clearly have enough life experience that I can just make my own path. I don't have to listen to what mom and dad say. No, don't make that mistake. God calls you to listen to your mom and dad. He calls you to listen to their wisdom as they lead you in the Lord. Don't argue with them. Don't try to always find a different way. Don't say, what should I do, mom or dad? And when they tell you what the way you should go, that you say, you know, that's great, I'm going to go the exact opposite way that you've just advised me to do. But receive the wisdom they give you from God. Go to Jesus. Go to the Savior they point you to. Go as they point out the way to you, and they point you to the cross, and they point you to Jesus, and they point you to the place for forgiveness and for life, and they point you wisely to wisdom himself. Go. Don't wait till you're older to realize, you know what, my parents were wiser than I gave them credit for. The greatest possession you can receive is your father's good wisdom passed down to you. I've considered that passing down from father to son, fathers to children, but it's also wisdom that doesn't just need to be passed down, but also needs to be received. It needs to be received by you. You must receive it, must believe it, must live by it. And that's what is really the rest of our text. So we're called to receive this, both when you, and really the language of now we're getting into. What did David say to Solomon? What did King David say to his son Solomon? What was the teaching that Solomon is now passing down? Well, there's really two parts to this. First, it's when you love wisdom, it will preserve you. And when you love wisdom, it will honor you. It will preserve and honor you. David, he loved his son. He wanted his son to know what was right. David loved his son, so he taught him. He said, I'm going to teach you things. I'm going to teach you what's wise. I'm going to point you to God himself. Don't ever let him go. Don't ever let it go. Don't just say, you know, I'm going to hold on to this, but I'm going to set it aside and grab onto something else. No, lay hold of this and hold on to it. This is similar to what actually the Apostle Paul would say, not to his physical son, but to a son in the faith and to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What David and Paul are saying to you, children, is respond with faith. Believe what you've been told. Believe on the Lord Jesus and he will keep you forever. He will keep you forever. He'll never, ever let you go. There are times, perhaps, where you're scared and you want to hold on to your parents and you're afraid they're going to let you go. But you can know that as you by faith hold on to Jesus, he's holding on to you even tighter, and he will never let you go. There is nothing wiser than going to Jesus. A couple hundred years ago, there was an American whaling ship that was sunk, actually, by a whale. And as the men got off the boat and were in their rescue, they had managed to save a whole bunch of different things off the boat. But then two of the sailors realized they had forgot the most important thing, and they dove back in the water and went at the risk of their own life, went back to find what they really needed, the most important thing that they needed that was worth risking their life for. And they came back. Thankfully, they found it, and it was a compass, which is going to point you in the right direction, show you which way is north, and so you know which direction you're going. Without it, they would have been on the endless and open sea and have no idea which way they should have been going. They would have been lost without direction. They needed that compass, and that is wisdom is like that compass. Wisdom, having God is knowing which direction you are to go and which way is true north, which way you ought to go. It's a good thing I'm pointing this way, which is north. But which way is north? That God, holding on to Christ, is what will give you life and preserve your life. It will save your life, children. Because what good will it do, boys and girls, if you gained everything in the world, but you didn't have you lost your soul? What good will it do? If you could have whatever you wanted in the world for a few years, then maybe a few more years, then a few final years, and then you died, and all of it was left behind. And your soul was lost. And it was gone. What good? In other words, what good is life without God? It isn't good at all. Life without God is not just, it's okay. No, it's awful. It's not good at all. There really is no living without God. And so the call is get wisdom. And in fact, this is a call for boys and girls of all ages and shapes and sizes. This is a call for all of us. Get wisdom. Get understanding. There's an urgency in the repetitiveness of what David is telling Solomon. You imagine this had some effect on Solomon, as that when God came to him in that dream and said, tell me whatever you want, whatever it is that you want, tell me and you will receive it. And Solomon asked for wisdom. You think that wasn't just something Solomon just I hadn't thought of this before. Now I'm going to ask for wisdom. No, it was his father's teaching that was blessed by God to his heart. So that was like David was rich and David had all kinds of things. But what Solomon had learned from his father was none of those things matter as much as wisdom. You need wisdom. And he asked for wisdom so he could live faithful before God. Sadly, in much of Solomon's life, he became proud in his own wisdom. He became proud of himself. He wandered from God and thought he had it within himself. But the call here is to still get wisdom, and that is to get God in you. The truths of God, what God is teaching. How do you get wisdom? Well, really looking at this in two ways. You get wisdom through diligence and through humility. Diligence and humility. That is, you get wisdom by diligently using the means God gives you. That is, seeking it, asking for it. Using the Word of God, listening carefully as your mom and dad teach you and open the Bible and read it to you, and listening carefully as they ask you questions about it. It means It means being an encouragement to your parents to go to church, to be in the house of the Lord, to be those who are not dragging their feet and grumbling, oh, it's Sunday, and oh, man, but saying, I want to go. Mom, can we go? And maybe your mom and dad at times need encouragement to go to church. They need encouragement on Sunday mornings. It's not always easy. They're faithful and diligent, but they need your encouragement as well. And how exciting it is for parents to see children that are like, I can't wait to get to church. Sunday is my favorite day. I get to go to the house of the Lord. Seek it, and God says you will find. Seek Him, and you will find Him. There's diligence, and there's humility. That means not being proud. Because everything that you receive, everything that you've been given is a gift. God has given you the greatest present you could ever hope to get. God is giving you knowledge, and not only knowledge, but why it matters. That is wisdom. If we have lots of wisdom without the Holy Spirit, we will only be proud. That leads to pride. It's a recipe for arrogance, using something as to beat down others, to think we deserved it, to think we gained it for ourselves. But when we realize everything has been given by Jesus because He's so kind to us, He's so loving, that gives us humility. And that is a wise gaining of what God gives us. And then that teaches you to pray. It teaches you to ask the Lord, praying. Pray for your dad. Pray for your pastor. Pray for those who teach you in Sunday school. Pray for your mom as she teaches you through the day. Pray for others in the church that they would be able to teach you and that you would be willing to listen. And this, boys and girls, is not just something you do when you're 5 years old or 10 years old. It's your whole life long. When you're 100 years old, you should be acquiring wisdom, getting more understanding. In heaven, we do not stop. We do not get to heaven and suddenly we have 100% all the wisdom we could ever acquire. Now, we will have no foolishness in heaven, but that doesn't mean we'll understand everything about everything, but we will continue to learn the riches, the depths of the wisdom of God. And so getting wisdom is something we get to look forward to forever and ever, learning and growing and worshiping God in deeper and deeper ways. And as you get wisdom, it says here, it'll preserve you. Do not forsake her. Don't let her go. She will, that is, wisdom will preserve you. That is, it will protect you from many foolish things. It'll protect you from many foolish sins that will hurt you. It'll protect you from many many unwise choices that the Bible, if you study the Word of God and look to Jesus, that He'll teach you, is just not wise, not good, not going to lead to that good and godly life that He's calling you to live. You know, there are many sad boys and girls in this world, many sad boys and girls, and there are many young men and young women who are very discontented, very miserable, grasping for lots of things, but really being happy with nothing because their parents were not wise to the things of the Lord. Their parents did not teach them the things of the Lord. Their parents did not instruct them in the ways of the Lord, and they perhaps had no parents to instruct them. And you've been blessed in your family and in a church family where these things are treasured and taught to you. And sadly, there are other young men and young women who have heard those things that you're hearing right now. They've been taught about Jesus and they've neglected them. They've been lazy with them and they've pushed them away and they've decided they found some wisdom somewhere else and they have walked away from Jesus. And they said, I don't want Him. What heartache it brings to parents, what heartache it brings to families, what heartache it brings to the elders and to the church to see that. Because we know the end is not good. We know that to see walking away from Jesus there is no wisdom that compensates for that. There's no wisdom that makes up for it. There's no wisdom that's almost as good. But you've been given such a great opportunity to learn about Jesus already from your youngest days. That doesn't give you pride. It doesn't make you proud. It doesn't get to say, well, I'm better than that kid or I'm better than that person. When we see children coming and worshiping with us and they're coming with their families and maybe they've never been to church before, we ought to welcome them and warmly and be excited because there's another friend. Yeah, sure. There's someone. But we get to be excited because we get to say, wow, they get to learn about Jesus like I've been able to learn. It's a gift. And the question that Solomon asks you is, what are you going to do with that gift? What are you going to do with it? And learning these things is not meant to be a dry kind of cold commitment. Fine, I'll learn these things. Yes, okay, I get it, Pastor Martin. No, but David says you got to pursue this with love. Love her. Treasure her. Just hold tight. Affection, deep affection. You love your mom. You love your dad. But you need to love Jesus even more than them. embracing Jesus with love, including all that he has to teach you, all his wisdom, all his truth, all his commandments. And your parents, for example, open the catechism book, and they're going to teach you the children's catechism or the shorter catechism, and they're going to try, instead of going, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it. All right, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end. You know, there's a prayer, Lord, teach me to love this, to love that I'm learning these things, that my mom and dad are going to teach me these things. Or maybe it's Bible memory or whatever it might be. And as parents and adults, we ought to have an affection for this as well. Our faith is not meant to get, you know, start out really excited and warm and then kind of get cooled down as we hit those 20s, 30s, you know, that just kind of coast on. No, we're to have a constant affection so we can pass that affection on to our children and on to the next generation in the church, having our affection set on the right things so that we ourselves would be preserved in the faith and see the next generation preserved until Christ, and generation after generation until Christ returns. When you love wisdom, it will preserve you. And when you love wisdom, David says, it will honor you. As David continues to teach Solomon, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. There's an urgency. It's the first thing. It's not just one of the things in life. This is the thing. Jesus is not just kind of a one of those things in your life, one of those people in your life, an add-on to life, an extra bonus in life. No, Jesus must be your life. That's what David is saying here. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. It's like he is the compass on the sea of life. Without Christ, we're drifting. We have no idea where we're going. And in fact, because of our sin, boys and girls, in your heart, because of sin in your heart, you have no ability to know what is right and what is wrong without Jesus. You have no ability to know what's good and what's bad without him. You're all confused. Your heart is all churned up and all confused. And people, we don't have a compass that points us in that right direction. And so people get confused. And if you're going to follow your heart, which is the advice of so many, people say, follow your heart. But you, if you know, you don't have to be that old to know. Your heart wants you to do sinful things. Your heart says, don't listen to mom. Your heart says, I want to do whatever I feel is right. I'm gonna eat this giant bag of candy. And then at the end of it, you realize that was a terrible idea. But at the time, I feel I want to do it, so I'm just going to do it. And that's a pretty minor thing compared to many sins that you'll face. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And as you face already, if you seek that wisdom already now before you're facing the greater temptations that will come in life. Serving God, following His direction already now. And that's David's emphasis here. Get it. Get it. Exalt her, and she will promote you. David is saying, actually, along the lines of what Jesus himself would expound, the wisdom of God himself would teach in his ministry in his ministry in this world. We think of the parable of the great price, where Jesus in Matthew 13 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He gave up everything for this one thing, and it was not a loss. It was not a foolish business decision. It was not a bad idea. If you gave up everything for Jesus, you still would be the winner in the end. And when you exalt her, when you cherish her, when you love her, when you hold her up as so important in your life, it will show in your life. Everybody will be able to see it. It will make the difference in your behavior, in the way you act and treat others, and the way you make decisions. It will be seen in your choices as you get older, and others will see and wonder, and it'll show in the steadiness of life. Above the foolish wasting of life, or just the chasing after this or that or the next thing, there will be a steadiness to life. And the Lord will honor you. The Lord will there will be, as it were, a crown of wisdom upon your head, not for your own pride, but for His own glory. And others, even unbelievers, will notice there's a difference in you. They'll notice and think, well, what is it? What is different about them? Why do they work harder than others? Why do they seem to make better decisions than others? Why are they pursuing having different goals than others? Because your pursuit is focused and fixed on Jesus and following Him and what He teaches you. And in all those things, it's not to exalt yourself. It's you're going to exalt Jesus. You're going to show others. And they're going to ask for that reason for the hope that's within you, or the reason for the wisdom that's within you. And you're going to say, it's because of Jesus. He's in my life. And if Jesus is in your life and you love Jesus most of all, it's going to show in how you love your neighbors. And that honor that God gives you and that others will see what's going on is not just something that stops at the border of this life, but it's that which will carry on into the next life to a crown of glory that you will wear forever and ever, because that's what Jesus gives to those who love him. When you love wisdom, it will honor you. When you love wisdom, it will preserve you. It will honor you. All this, as Jesus teaches you this afternoon, the greatest possession you can receive is your Father's good wisdom passed down to you. It's wisdom being offered to you. In fact, Christ himself being offered to you, the wisdom of God, wisdom incarnate, coming in human form, being offered. The most important thing you could ever hope to have. It's come, passed down, yes, in many cases from your fathers to you, from your parents to you, but ultimately from heaven to you. What then is your response? That's the call, boys and girls. You're going to believe in this Jesus? Are you going to listen to what he says? And then there's a word just in conclusion to parents, and including to the adults here in the whole covenant community with care and concern for all of our children together. There are many things we can teach our children. There are many things about marriage, about future, career, life, all kinds of advice, all kinds of wisdom that we can pass down to them. But are we teaching them what is the most important wisdom? Are we teaching them what is the greatest treasure? And not only what is the greatest treasure by our words, but also by our example. Not so we say, this is the most important thing, but then they watch our life and they say, is it really though? Because I see a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of everything invested over in this area while you're trying to point me over in this area. They're going to be attracted to watching your life, and what is that going to say? You can point in this direction and walk in that direction. They're going to follow your path. Do they see by your life that there is nothing worth it without Jesus Christ, and that he is altogether lovely and most worth it of all? The church father Augustine, his father, he wrote of his father in Augustine's book, The Confessions. He wrote about his father's advice. His father's advice, his unbelieving father's advice, at least at the time, his father was an unbeliever. He said, get wealth, worldly honor, or worldly wisdom. That was his father's advice. Get wealth, worldly honor, or worldly wisdom. And Augustine, as he was reflecting on this now as a Christian, he prayed to God. He said, this father of mine never troubled himself with any thought of how I might improve myself toward thee. God forbid that should ever be the statement of our children about us. And God have mercy if it is, because we can still seek, there is still forgiveness to be found if we have to confess and say, wow, my children could say that so much. And indeed, many of us and all of us have failings in our parenting. But may God have mercy in that way to be able to begin even today to say, I'm pointing them in the right direction, my children, my grandchildren. But of all the wisdom that we could pass down, the most important wisdom to pass down is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is wisdom we should give to them diligently. It's wisdom we should pass down to them regularly. It's wisdom we should give to them daily. It's wisdom we should give to them every Lord's Day. We have love for Jesus Christ. We ought to love our children by passing down our love for Jesus Christ. It should be shown in our diligence to pursue him and to pass him down, to speak of him to them, opening our Bibles to seek him with them and to show him to them. You can use the helps that the church offers. Use the helps of the counsel of your elders, of the other wise and faithful believers, of catechisms that have been tried and tested, of summarizing biblical truth in memorable ways, and so many helps that to help. But above all, lean on the Holy Spirit, seeking the Spirit of God, the one who has led you to your Christian life and you embracing Jesus as the wisdom of God. Lean on him to lead others that he puts under your care. Because if you and I love our children, then we will pass down the wisdom of God to them. Give thanks for what you have been given. Give thanks for what God has entrusted you with. Entrust his covenant ways, his ways of working from generation to generation through those means of teaching them of Jesus. Point your beloved children to your beloved God, the God of wisdom. Point them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, this message is one we all need. And it's a message that you are faithful to bring. It's a message, Lord, that for us as adults, it's convicting and it brings us to our knees, and it ought to, both to, Lord, to seek for your blessing on the instruction we've passed down, to ask for forgiveness where we have been inconsistent or failed in these things, and to pray for new and fresh opportunities to preach Christ, to tell of the wisdom of God to our children and grandchildren, to others. And Lord, we pray for the boys and girls, the children here, that they would, Lord, realize how needy it is. They don't want to drift through life to just go all aimlessly, not knowing which direction is right or wrong, and drift through life, Lord, that they need you, the God who made them, and you come to talk to them too, not just when they're older, but now already, and offering them Jesus and calling them to come and believe on Jesus and to be led by Jesus in their whole life. Lord, thank you that this word can be preached to them, and that, Lord, we have great faith in your Spirit to work powerfully in the hearts of our children, to bring them to love Jesus, to have wills that are transformed to follow Jesus and to love him all their life. Give them great and deep affection for Jesus and to have him in their hearts and living out of Jesus in all of their lives. We ask this, Lord, with hope and confidence, with faith in you, for the salvation in any of all of our children and for ours as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.